On our way here this morning, we saw a donkey in a field. And we said to each other, oh, we could do with that donkey today. And I said to Simon, well, if Jesus was here, he'd probably tell us to go and get it and bring it to church. And we didn't do that. But that is what happened in the gospel narrative that we've heard. I would not have liked to be one of those disciples that was told to go and get a colt that didn't belong to them from a village that was ahead. But which village? Because there were two mentioned. And by a doorway. But which doorway? And there are so many things that I'd be assailed with if it was me, thinking, oh my goodness, what a commission has been given to me. Get a colt. A colt is a foal of a donkey, a young animal which is like an adolescent. And you know, donkeys can be quite stubborn, whatever age they are. But a young one that's not been trained may even be a little bit wild and have a mind of its own. Not meek, but all muscle and an untrained mind. That's what a young colt would be like. So not easy to untie and lead away. And also, it's not mine to take. It's very valuable, is that colt, because it's got its whole working life ahead of it as well. So it's risky, this thing. However, even with misgivings, I think that I would have done it if I felt Jesus was saying to me, do that thing, do this thing for me. Because I trust him, and even if he asks me to do something that is a bit off left field or kind of out of my sphere of understanding, if I understood it was from him, I would still do it. And so they did, because they recognised him as their Lord. And when we do, we are best trusting him, and we're best obeying him, and we're best just being with that we don't understand, and that some things we won't until we're in heaven itself. But he doesn't have to explain himself, because he is God. And he can be trusted. So the disciples back then, and if it was me now, going to get a colt or a young donkey from a field, they did what they were asked, and they went there, and they found it tied by the doorway like a parked car. And the reason I say that is because donkeys were the mode of transport, and they were parked at doorways when their owners were busy inside or about to make another journey, taking the animal with them or using it for their purposes. And so that means that the owners were near at hand, which makes it more risky to take it. And they were noticed. And the owners said, why are you doing that? Why are you taking the colt? And the response that the disciples had been told to make, the Lord needs it, seemed to work like absolute magic. It's like the owners of the colt also recognized who Jesus was, the Lord. And if the Lord wants it, the Lord shall have it. And so they gave their colt without further ado. And then the next recognition is one that touches my heart because of my love of creatures. It's like the colt itself recognized Jesus. Because what wild and unruly adolescent young donkey would let somebody get on their back and ride them? When that's not what they're used to, it's not what they've been trained for, they're not ready for it. But that young donkey knew its maker. And it responded with the giving of itself. And I think that's what creation does. It's what arises in the throats of birds when they're singing, and in trees when they're bursting into blossom, as many are here. They are worshipping their Lord. And this donkey worshipped Jesus that day by allowing him to sit on his back as he plodded into Jerusalem. So this catches me for so many reasons. And the other is that this donkey was fulfilling a prophecy. So back in Zechariah, hundreds of years before, chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this fulfilling of prophecy means a lot to everyone that has known the prophecy and everyone that hears about it since, including us today. We know that we are living inside a story that began even before the world did, and that has along the way signs and pointers towards what's going to happen next. And then it does, and here it is, Zechariah's prophecy coming true. And then I'm with the sight of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and I'm thinking, well, the last time I sat on a donkey I was 8 or so. You know, you don't sit on a donkey when you're an adult. It's not very dignified. And so his humility in riding in to his beloved city, to the people that he'd come to as their king, to sit on a donkey was such a humbling thing to do, such a sight to behold. And in humbling himself that day, he prepared himself for a deeper and greater humbling that was to come, which was to spread his arms wide for love on Good Friday and die on that cross, having such an experience as the creator of the universe is incomprehensible to us as people. We can only get so near. But Jesus knows who he is. He recognizes himself as the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And so he keeps on plodding on in humility to do what will cost him everything. So then I'm with the crowd, and I'm with what they do and what they say and what they shout. And what they did was they laid their cloaks, first of all, on the back of the donkey for Jesus to sit on, and then in the road to be walked over by the donkey with Jesus on. And the thing about cloaks in those days were they were the most valuable possession that a person had, maybe apart from their house if they had one. But a cloak was so essential for each person to have that they would not even be allowed to have their cloak taken away from them, even if they owed money. And if anyone borrowed somebody else's cloak, they had to give it back by nightfall, because a person would use it as their blanket overnight. So you would not do anything with your cloak that put any risk of it being ripped, spoiled, stolen, or anything happening to it. It's precious, precious garment. And the people took theirs off and they placed them in the road. And they were basically saying, you can have what's mine. You can have the best of me. You can have the most valuable thing that I have. So those people that saw Jesus that day recognized him as their king, and their Saviour, and they saw his humility, and they wanted to honour him and respect him and shout praise and worship and to be with him, cheering him on. Another thing, the stones. What about them? So Jesus' disciples are told by the Pharisees, rebuke. Jesus is told, rebuke your disciples. Stop them shouting like this. Stop the people. And Jesus said, if they don't, then the stones will cry out. The very stones of the earth. And so I'm back with creation and how the whole of creation recognizes the Lord and Saviour. And if the people keep quiet, creation won't. Psalm 19, chapter 1, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Palm Sunday is not for keeping quiet. It's for shouting our Saviour's praises, singing to him encouragement, praising him and cheering him on. Question, what about us? Have we recognised Jesus as our Saviour? Have we believed what we understand and know about him? Have we taken a step into faith, living faith, that is so connected with him that we can't help but say yes to him when he asks something of us that we don't understand, or that we keep celebrating even in times when it feels sad and heavy, which actually Holy Week does, rightly so. But we will praise today, we will worship today, we will keep with Jesus and cheer him on today. And maybe we will be prepared to say yes to what he asks of us and to give ourselves the best of what we have, like the cloaks laid before the donkey. I wonder if we can be part of the fulfilling of Jesus' mission to this world, to love it, to die for it, to hold it close to his heart and take it on and on into glory. I wonder. Father God, we're your people. We're gathered around you today, and we're with you. We're with you, Jesus. And we ask that you will take what we have, who we are, whatever we're able to offer you, and you will do with it what you will. Amen.